Hello, my kings, queens, and ethereal beings. Welcome to another episode of the Loser Crafts podcast. Today, I'm going to be giving a roundup of my favourite books this year in 2020 because it has been a journey, to say the least. And I'm going to be working on the cardigan for Ellen Parker. This cardigan also been a journey. I'm sensing some parallels, you know. But before we get into that, what am I wearing and what am I drinking? Now, today I'm drinking not just a regular hot chocolate, but hot chocolate with mini marshmallows in. I am so bougie. And you know what? I was thinking earlier, a good distinction between my favourite hot chocolates. I don't like something too sickly. So I've been to like fancy cafes and stuff and you get like these fancy hot chocolates, like ones where you can get like amaretto in or Bailey's, and they're just so sickly sweet. So I think what I prefer is a creamier hot chocolate, and I especially like those little sachets you can get in like corner shops where it's like mint hot chocolate or something like that, or white hot chocolate. Delicious. And what am I wearing? I am wearing some purple flares. They're a nice lilac colour. Very cute, and they're from Zara, and then a white turtleneck and a pink velvet scrunchie. Our pun for this episode is from the Queen herself, Darby, and I'm not gonna sing it, but I think it's very festive, so while it is this festive season, I don't know, squeeze blood out of a rock. What's the phrase? Squeeze every pun out from this festive season. That's what I'm going to do. Oh, the weather outside is frightful. And the knitting is so delightful. And since we have no place to go, RIP, another row, another row, another row. Lovely stuff. So, I am working on the cardigan ribbing. And yeah, I'm knitting in the round, which I'm getting quite used to. I'm enjoying it, actually. I think it's going to be my preferred thing, and I'm quite excited to learn to knit socks. But, man, this project has been a journey. It has been so long, much longer than I anticipated, and editing a pattern takes time. You gotta do lots of swatches, and then if they don't work and stuff, then undo them and redo them. So it has been a process, but I've had a great time. I really am loving the way it's shaping up at the moment. It looks really nice. I'm very proud of it, and I just hope Ellen loves it and gets lots of wear out of it. Yeah, it's been a really special project to work on. So yeah, I'm just ribbing, and I dumped buttonholes, which is fancy. And I think I did they're vertical buttonholes, so yeah, it was pretty chill. I think I might go in and like sew around them though to make them a little bit more robust, because they seem a bit flimsy. They're only two stitches long, but yes, hopefully the buttons I've bought will fit. Anyway, books of this year. This has been a very interesting year, and escapism central for me, because now actually I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks, and I know it's a bit controversial. Not everyone thinks that audiobooks are books, but I would argue they are. Read, listened, whatever it is, I have listened, read to a lot of titles this year, and I've really enjoyed it. So I'm just gonna give a rundown of things I've enjoyed. I'll try and keep it spoiler free, and I don't think it'll be in a particular order. Maybe I'll consider ranking at the end, because honestly there's been so many good ones, it's so hard to compare. But yeah, let's do it chronologically, actually. So I started off this year reading, at the start of lockdown, Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. And it was very fun. It was a fun read. I finished it in less than a few days. Yeah, it's quite quick paced and it's good. You get sucked in. I do like a dystopian future, you know. The premise of this story is there's this competition that could be life-changing to the protagonist, the changing of winning this competition, which is in like a virtual reality game, and it is packed full of 80s references, and it's very, yeah, it's very good, but I wouldn't say it's up there in my favourites. But you know what's on this list is because it gave me that taste to want to read more, and get back into reading like more fantasy books, because I do enjoy fantasy. But yeah, it's good, it's a sweet book, and very easy to read. So later on this year I read A Wild Sheep Chase by Murakami, and oh my word, I loved it. I really enjoy surrealism, and it was just so good. It was, yeah, it's an interesting fantasy book, and apparently this will give you a real taste into his writing. So I thought I'd start with a short one, and I just loved it. So I've bought quite a few more to read in 2021, and basically it's exactly what it says on the tin. You're searching for this sheep, which is just interesting, and you like never, he just writes in such a good way of how his characters process things. It's so real, and at the same time they're just searching for a sheep. There's a little bit of like, not magic, well yeah, like magic and supernatural things happening. It's a really good book, and so I think I've got Colourless, another one of his books, and I've got Dance Dance Dance, which is another one in that series that A Wild Sheep Chase is in, and I've heard good things about that. Also this year I have loved reading Becoming, and this is more of a honorary mention because I've not finished it yet. I've still got about 8 hours left because it is a beefy book. It's long, but it's just so personal. You like, I feel like I'm reading something I almost shouldn't because it's so personal, and it's the first memoir I've ever read, but yeah, I'm excited to read more. I've got a bibliography of Elon Musk as well, so I'm excited to read that because he's an interesting guy. But yeah, really enjoying Becoming. I'm excited to finish that, but yeah, it's a very relaxing read and very personal, so insightful into their lives. I'm at the moment, yeah, Obama's not president yet, so there you go, that's roughly where I am, but he's running at the moment. And I also have read Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Wow, what a book. This is by Taylor Jenkins Reid, and I then went and bought her other one, Daisy Jones and the Six, another Audrey book of hers. It was incredible. It was so good. I'd say like 4.5 out of 5. I just, no words. Oh my word. So I'm going to try keep it spoiler free, but the premise of the story is a journalist, I've forgotten her name, but she gets to interview this huge Hollywood glamour era actor and get the real tea on her life and all the juicy gossip, and she's like, why is this woman giving me this like $1 million deal for me to write a book on her life? Like, it's a bit fishy, but she's doing it anyway, and it's interesting. So basically Evelyn Hugo, the Hollywood glamour actress, has had 7 husbands, and that's all anyone ever talks about, is these scandals and raunchy scenes in movies and stuff like that, and so she agrees to be like, cut the BS, tell this journalist everything, as long as it's her. And so that's kind of where you start off, and yeah, it's such a good book. You really get invested in these kind of morally grey characters, and you get their justification for doing these pretty extreme things. And I really enjoy books that explore morally grey people. And not everyone's like good as gold, you know. But yeah, I really enjoyed that one. And the narrators for it are just fabulous. Like, it's got quite a few narrators. And yeah, it's brilliant. Could you tell I loved that one? I've also read Matt Haig's Reasons to Stay Alive. And then I read after that, because I enjoyed that one, The Notes on a Nervous Planet. Both excellent books, but I'd say Reasons to Stay Alive is miles better than A Nervous Planet, Notes on a Nervous Planet. This is a book exploring mental health issues. I think it has anxiety and depression, and you just get such a, like, you're in his brain. Well, obviously it's from his perspective, but it's so good. I found it really good. And everyone knows someone who's depressed or anxious if they're not themselves. So I really recommend this to everyone. It's such a good book, and he is an optimist after all, so it's really encouraging. It's a really encouraging book, and I very much recommend it. It's so easy to read, and it's, a lot of the chapters are just like a page, or a page listing good things and stuff like that. So I've been listing good things to stay alive for, because, you know, it's fun. And one of them for me is, I'm yet to learn all there is about orchids. I like orchids, and I like irises, and I like lilies. There's so much I'm yet to learn about botany. So that's a reason for me to stay alive, among other things, obviously. But yeah, I'd really recommend it. It's a really easy read. But also, when he is describing his panic attacks, though, I do warn you that it is quite... it really got my heart racing, because I was listening to him narrating it, and it was quite intense, because it's quite realistic. But apart from that, incredible. But I think it needs to be intense for you to really... see the reality of it, you know. Also this year, big change of genre, I read the Brent Weeks The Lightbringer series. Now I'm on The Blood Mirror at the moment. I'm on chapter 4, and I have loved the first two books. Now I'm gonna get my one qualm out the way before I rave on about this book. When he's writing from the point of view of women, because it's a multiple perspective book, you can tell it's written by a man. And being written by a man is not a bad thing, but also, if you're writing women, and then, I don't know, it makes me cringe a bit sometimes, but this has been well acknowledged within the fandom, and people who rave about his works, I think they're quite aware of this. But now that's over. Incredible. It's a fantasy series. So basically, there's a magic system based on colours. And you have a hierarchy of people. So it's quite complex. And you have a hierarchy of people depending on what colours they can draft. Now, drafting is... you like creating the colour, and the colour can like create substances. So things like yellow will be a liquid, it's not very stable, but then you can create solid things out of blue and green, all things like that. So all the colours, and then this super violet. But anyway, there's a hierarchy of people depending on how many colours you can draft, and things like, there's racial hierarchies, and also there's an established religion. So right at the start of the book, you find out that it's basically one guy who runs this town. He's called the Prism. He's someone who's chosen like every 7 years or so, and he or she can draft any colour, and they're so powerful. And you get to see the perspective of the current Prism, and yeah, he's a narcissist, and he's just so... got such a huge ego, and it's really interesting. And then there's all these religious things, and it's like the Prism is the person closest to God, but the person who's the Prism at the current time is an atheist, and all this. It's really interesting, and there's so many flaws within this religion, but then you change perspectives quite regularly, so you have to like bear in mind people's outlook on the religion, the politics, and then be like, oh, okay, so what lens am I looking through now? It's really fun, because Brent Weeks just drips and jabs of like information. He gives you little tastes, and you never sense a foreshadowing happening when it's happening. Like, it's really subtle, which I love. And he never just information dumps. It's just like little hints and spices, and like you're like, oh, okay, could this develop into something? And you gotta bear in mind whose opinion you're looking at it from, because it's really hard to get the truth out of people because of like whatever their outlook is on this religion, and there's all these politics, and I'm really loving it. It's very fun, and yeah, it's so quick paced as well. But one thing that does kind of frustrate me is when I want the truth, is that it then changes opinion in the next chapter, changes point of view, and you're like, ah, I just wanted to know what was going to happen. But it keeps you reading, very quick paced, and you're following a lot of egocentric characters, and then you have this underdog, and you're like, yeah, it gives you a good perspective. You have a few underdogs in there, and also the character arcs, like the growth in characters, is realistically slow, which can be frustrating because you're like, oh gosh, just sort your life out. But it is realistic. His growth in these characters is really good and subtle, and then when you compare to where they were at the start of books, you're like, oh, okay, I see what you've done there. And then friendships developing, or enemies developing either, it really rubs me the wrong way when just characters have no motivation to do things, but you best believe he's justified every motivation with so much logic and essays, and characters, like every relationship is already planned out long before something's gonna happen. It just seems so logical. That's what I really like about it. But yeah, I really am enjoying this series, and I have heard mixed reviews about the rest of the series, so I'm excited to know what I feel about it. But Daniel Green, but Green spelt with an E on the end, on YouTube, he was the book YouTuber who recommended this series, and then I bought the first few books, and I was like, okay, and I'm really loving it. So yes, enough of me raving about Brent Weeks. What else have I read this year? I've really enjoyed reading essays from George Orwell. I really enjoyed studying George Orwell in literature lessons. And now obviously I don't really study that anymore. So it's good to just enjoy it, and he's a really interesting guy, so I've enjoyed dipping in and out. Especially I don't get time to read much in like the high pressure seasons of term, so it's good just to like read one or two essays. And this, I'm not listening to an audiobook of that, I'm just reading it's a paper book, which is good. Yeah, he's a really interesting guy. I'm enjoying that. And I liked learning about his job in a bookshop. And it's, yeah, there's some fun essays, and then there's obviously a lot of political ones. But yeah, what else have I read this year? Oh gosh, stop singing. Oh my word. How can I forget the best comedy of this year? Richard Iowardi's Iowardi on Top. I think I've mentioned this so many times to everyone around me. It is hilarious. The audiobook, hilarious. It's narrated by him. I love this man. Oh, It's such a good book. It's hilarious. I laughed a lot, especially at the beginning. Oh, he's just such a clever writer. It's so good. Yeah, really nice and lighthearted. And there you go. I cannot recommend it enough. I'm excited to read his other books because I do just love him. Oh, it's really fun. I would recommend the audiobook because you get to listen to himself narrating it, which is obviously very fun. But yeah, I think those are my favourites. I have read other books and other series, but these are the ones that I strongly recommend. But what is on my TBR? I love book YouTube, and oh gosh, I just want to be them so bad, you know? Imagine being a book YouTuber. Gosh, I hope you can't hear that alarm going off. If you can, whoop-de-doo. My TBR for next year, finishing the Lightbringer series, I have quite a few romances. I want to get into romances. I've got an Agatha Christie, Dial M for Murder, and I got the Kindle book on my iPad, so I can read along with it, because I do want to become less dependent on audiobooks. Now, I love an audiobook, and I find it really hard to remember things if I'm reading it with my eyes. I don't really know how to word this, but like, you know what I mean. If I'm reading it, not listening to it, I find it really hard to remember what I've just read. So listening to it's a lot easier, but I want to challenge myself to get better at reading, because I'm not going to get better ever if I don't like force myself to do it. So I'm going to be doing that a lot more. And you better hold me to that, whoever's listening to this. I've also got The Poppy War, which is, I think, a fantasy. The Hobbit. Now, I did start the Lord of the Rings, and incredible world building, great description. Yeah, but it's just so slow. I'm not used to his writing style yet, Tolkien's writing style, and I'm just finding it so slow. And especially when I'm procrastinating, I want something energetic and quick. I feel like that's going to be a summer read, and The Hobbit as well. But I've bought them all, just yet to read them. And I know I'll enjoy them, because I just need to get used to his writing. Oh, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, of course, classic. Studies in Pessimism, Arthur Schopenhauer. I don't know how to pronounce his surname. But apparently there's also a really funny one where it's like, on women, and it's just the most sexist, abhorrent thing you've ever read. And I can't wait to read that. And literally, I have read the introduction, and the editor or publisher or whatever has put in a paragraph being like, yes, so that one on women, he wasn't joking, he was an arsehole. So I'm very excited to read that, it will tickle me. Oh, I have heard such good things about The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. But I'm trying not to read too many reviews because I don't want to spoil it for me. Of course, Dance, Dance, Dance by Murakami. Daisy Jones and the Six, I haven't started that yet. The Hating Game by Sally Thorne. Apparently a romance that everyone's raving about. Noelle on Book YouTube, she raves about this so much, so of course I had to buy it. I love her YouTube videos. Shrill by Lindy West. I think this is a collection of feminist essays, so I'm very excited to read that. And I've got Bad Feminist as well, and I don't think I picked up Women Don't Know You Pretty, because apparently it's really badly written. Sure, the content apparently is quite good, but I don't know, I know that will trigger me a bit. Circe, or however you pronounce it, by Madeline Miller. I do like a bit of mythology. I've been reading the Iliad this year, and it's very fun. Short History of Nearly Everything, Bill Bryson, classic. I feel like every physicist ever has read this. Wild Swans, apparently this is quite an emotional one. I think it's a modern classic. It's by Jung Chang, and yeah, I haven't heard much about it. It's a fiction and apparently it's quite emotional. I'm excited to read that next year. This Changes Everything by Naomi Klein. Keen? K-L-E-I-N. However that's pronounced. This is about climate change. Very depressing, but also something I need to educate myself on more. Now, Simon Clark, a YouTuber, who he inspired me to take physics, actually, one of the inspirations into studying this subject, was his YouTube channel, and he did his PhD in meteorology? No. Where you study the climate, like the science of the climate, there's a word for it, but basically he's recommended some books on this, and so I thought I'd pick some of those up. I am excited but nervous to read it because I know I'll start preaching to everyone about climate change. So strap up for an episode on that. Quite a few Austen, because I love reading Pride and Prejudice, but I'm yet to read some of her other ones. And No Way Out by Adam Jowett. Those are the ones on my TBR at the moment. That one is a very sad. I think it's based on a true story, but it was... No Way Out. It's a war story. I think it's from the Second World War. And yeah, they have no way out. And it's apparently very emotional. So I think I'll read that when life is going great and I can manage an emotional book. But yeah, what else am I reading? Oh, I haven't finished Dracula the Idiot by Dostoevsky. Alex's Adventures in Numberland. A great book. I'm yet to finish, but I'm loving that one. I love Alex Belos. I've seen him speak live. It's an incredible book. It's very fun. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Oh, such a slow burner, honestly. It is a bit of a snooze, but the content's really good. So hopefully I'll finish that in 2021. Get my life together. These are the books I've been enjoying. Oh, you know what I also did read this year? I read Holes. I just fancied a throwback. I remember reading that in primary school and having so much fun. So yeah, I picked it up again. It was very fun. Read it in an afternoon. It's a very short book, actually, but yeah, it was so fun. And I'm excited this year to dip my toe into a little bit more philosophy. So I have quite a few on my shelf waiting to be read, but I feel like you've got to approach it with a good frame of mind, so I've got to really commit time to understanding these essays. So I don't want to just like half-ass it. I just want to understand it and give it the time these essays deserve. And it's the same with climate change and feminism. I really want to get the most out of these audiobooks. Of course I can listen to them again, but I want to almost savour them. And it's the same with George Orwell. I haven't ever read 1984 yet because I want to be at a point where I'm comfortable enough with my reading paper books to really savour and enjoy that one, because I know I'm going to love it. So I'm putting it off until I'm at a place where I'm excited to read the paper book, because I will just love it. I can already sense it. But yeah, that is my roundup of 2020 reading. I've made a lot of progress with my ribbing on these teeny tiny needles. They are so small. I think they're like 3 millimeters, which is tiny, but it's gonna look lovely, and I hope Ellen likes wearing it. But yes, that is all for today. I wish you the best in your crafting endeavors, and until next time, have a happy Christmas!